give your testimony, ma'am. Why don't you come on up and give us your testimony now? Thank you, Jesus.
Can you hear me? Oh, okay. I'm Trish. I'm in the sound booth today, so it took me a little bit of time to get up here. So I'm going to make this as short as possible because a lot of you are new faces to this church. I was disabled until last summer, 14 years of nerve damage and brain damage because I had a tumor in my brain. God's healed me from most of all of that pain. I can move my arm now, which I wasn't able to do before. I'm not dizzy where I was used to have to use a cane. The reason I'm coming up here to praise God again is I have a lot of nerve damage and pain, as I said, but it's mostly neuropathy in my feet. It literally hurts me to drive home, like sitting in the car, not using my feet, and my feet hurt. So we do a food pantry currently the first Saturday of every month, and I'm standing 2.5-3 hours while I'm serving in that mission. And I pray every Saturday morning, Lord, please protect my feet so I can stand and serve your people. And more often than not, the pain is diminished. I still have the pain, but I'm able to serve. Well, I prayed yesterday morning, and my feet still don't hurt. so I didn't, they didn't hurt at all yesterday, standing for 3 hours, and they still are not hurting today, so I'm just giving all the praise to God, and just also feel that I need to let you know that God is healing you. God has already healed you. You might not see it yet, but one day you will. And it might not be here and now on this earth, but he has promised us in heaven we will have new bodies and we will not have any pain. So I pray that you just, you know, bear this cross of pain until he lifts it from you.
Amen. God has already healed you, she said, and he did. He did. Jesus did that on the cross. Amen. Amen. The children's church. We're not having a children's ministry time this morning, but we do have children's church. So if you're a teacher with the children this morning, can you stand up? I want to send the children out with their teachers this morning before we move on to anything. So Kylie's got the little guys, and that is what? 2 through 6. If you're 2 through 6, go out with Miss Kylie over here to the door for our children's church time. And then who's the next class? 7. If you're 7, 8, and 9, there's Miss Shelley. Go find her. Go on out here. And then what do we have? 10s and 11s? 10, 11, and 12. Thank you, RJ. You're helping me this morning. There they go. Thank you. That's half our church. There they go. Okay. Oh, we're going to talk a little bit about Awana this morning. Awana is coming. So we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. Do you want to play our YouTube now? And then Neil is going to come and tell us a little bit more about Awana.
Okay. All right. Well, good morning, church. So AWANA is Approved Workmen and Not Ashamed is what it stands for, and it comes from 2 Timothy 2:15. It's a children's ministry. It's international. It's in every continent in the world. And I would encourage you, if you're interested, if you like the video and you're interested in more information, to see myself or Melanie. We're in the back. She is on call, so we may have to duck out early. Hopefully the phone won't ring. But we'll hang out 10 or 15, 20 minutes after the service. Pray on it. Seek the Lord. And if it's something that sparks your interest, come see us. You can email me. My email is on the flyers around the church, in the bulletin. Also, you can shoot me a text or call me on my cell phone as well. Thank you.
So I want to be like Tyler this morning, and I want to pray for that. So let's pray about AWANA right now. Father, we know that this is something that you have led us to. All the circumstances are here for AWANA. It is a wonderful, glorious ministry. And don't you know, Lord God, that our kids need AWANA today. And we are very privileged and we are very honored that you would choose us to be able to work in this ministry and bring this ministry to serving the children. So, Father, we ask right now, as you've already started the process, Lord, and now we're looking for some volunteers, Father God. And I thank you that as you speak to the people who are supposed to follow in this ministry, they will have their ears open and they will hear your voice, Father God. So we lift this entire ministry up to you, Father, because we don't want to take one step without you. We don't want to be presumptuous in any way, Father God. But we want to follow the voice of the Holy Spirit here. But we know, Lord, that this is a great opportunity to serve our children, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I just thought of one real quick announcement that is not anything spiritual, but it's something you may need to know. They are going to blacktop the entire area this week, Tuesday and Wednesday. So just so you know, you cannot come or park right in the immediate area. Up front, even down behind where PSI is, they're going to blacktop it Tuesday and Wednesday. Just thought maybe we should know that in case you are going to visit. You have to park over at the fire hall and walk down. Okay? Just so you know. All right. Father, we thank you for Jay coming today. It is such a wonderful, I'm looking forward to it, Lord. Jay is from Kingdom Life Ministries, and we thank you, Lord, that he is here to deliver the word to us today. I'm going to give it to you, Jay.
Well, good morning, church. Some of you know me, some of you don't. And for those that don't, hi. As Trina said, I'm the pastor at Kingdom Life Ministries. We are a baby church. We just started last September, and for 5 years, I had the privilege and honor of being the associate pastor here. And then the Lord asked my wife and I, that's Linda, wave, hi, that's my wife. He led us deeper into the ministry. So he led us to start a church, and it's in our home, and right now we have roughly 11, 12 people on each Sunday, and it's amazing. It is amazing and exciting and joyful to watch him work. So, but it is a privilege to bring God's word to you this morning. When Pastor Tyler asked me there 2 weeks ago, I was like, well, you know, we kind of have our own church, but I said, let me pray on it. Well, in prayer, God said, yes, speak my word. So that's what I'm going to do this morning. We're going to do a little different. I'm unconventional. Those that know me know I'm unconventional. But guess what? God's unconventional. God does what he wants to do, what he wants to do, because he has to do it. So this morning, I want to start out with a music video. So just listen to the words. If you want to sing along, by all means, sing along. You may know it, but when I heard this song a while back, it just grabbed a hold of my spirit. It's amazing. So just listen, please. I heard that song, it grabbed hold of my spirit. That's not just a song. That's a prophetic word. That reminds me of the prophetic word that Isaiah prayed. If you'll turn to, well, they'll have it up here in a second. Isaiah 64, verse 1 and 2. This goes right along with that. Isaiah prayed to the Lord. He said, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down, that the mountains might shake at your presence, as fire burns brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence." Isaiah prayed this, but he did more than just pray this. He spoke this out. Trish, your testimony this morning was so awesome, because I know when she was going through all this, she was speaking healing. She was claiming it. And what did the Lord do? She's here today. She's pain-free. Glory to God. But she spoke it just as Isaiah spoke it. He says, "Lord, come down." He says, "Rend the heavens," or "tear open the heavens." And the Lord answered. He sent his son Jesus. He did come down. We need, as a church, you and me, we need to speak against the problems, against the tricks and deceit of the enemy, not just complain about them. The whole world complains about their problems, and it's easy to get sucked into that. We need to speak into them. This morning, I had a laugh. As Trina was up here, she started just, the word was coming out. And I turned around to my sister and I said, "She's taking my thunder. She's speaking the message." It was God. It was God. That's what he wants you to hear this morning. We need to speak his truth in power and authority. But not just speak it, we need to live it out. Day by day, step by step. That is why this is called a journey. This is called a walk, because it's one foot in front of the other, day after day. But God promises that he will be with us every step we take. So Jesus came down. God answered Isaiah's prayer, his prophetic word. And Jesus comes down. And we all know he lived a life of meekness and gentleness. And he also died gently, not mercifully. It was gruesome. It was horrible what happened to him. But he did not speak a word against the situation or the people doing it. What did he do? He said, "Father, forgive them." So he lived and died as the Lamb. That's what he's called, the Lamb of God. He lived and died as the Lamb. And too many Christians these days still see him as the Lamb. Too many Christians are afraid to speak up and make waves. There's too many pastors in the pulpits afraid to speak the truth. That hurts me to say that, but it's true. God has called each one of us to speak the truth. We need to know who this Jesus is. Yes, he lived as a man on earth, and he died as a lamb, but he does not reign as a lamb. He reigns as the Lion of Judah. He reigns with all power and authority. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. First Peter chapter 5, verse 8. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." The part I want you to get is, says Satan roams around like a roaring lion, but he's not. He's more like a banging gong or a clanging gong, whatever it is. He makes noise. That's what he does. He makes noise, but he is not a lion. We have given him too much credit. Jesus is the lion. Satan is a chihuahua. Okay, I don't know if any of you have. They make a lot of noise, but they're annoying. That's it. That's what the enemy is. He's annoying. But if we give him the undue credit, if we give him authority to work in our lives, then he has the power. But we have to give it to him. Let's flip to Luke chapter 4, verse 5. I know I'm jumping around, but I want to bring points out here this morning. They all go right together. Luke chapter 4, verse 5. Now this was when Satan was tempting Jesus in the wilderness. And remember, Jesus was out there 40 days and 40 nights without food. No nourishment of any kind. So he was weak, physically, exhausted. I can't imagine. If I go miss a meal, I think I'm dying, as you can tell. But he's weak. He's very vulnerable at this time. So the enemy is tempting him. And it says, "The devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, 'All this authority I will give you, and their glory. For this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours.'" Now we all know Jesus did not fall into that temptation. But I want you to see, the devil says, "All this authority I will give you, and their glory. For this has been delivered to me." When you deliver something, what do? You take something and you give it to someone else, right? Well, that's exactly what Adam and Eve did. They gave the authority that God gave them to have dominion and rule over the world. They gave it to Satan. When they chose to obey Satan instead of the Lord, they gave their authority away. He didn't have to, he can't force anybody to give it away. He doesn't have the power. We have to choose to give it to him. And at that moment, Adam and Eve chose to follow Satan instead of the Lord. My question to you, who are you choosing to follow? Because you can only follow two. There's two kingdoms. You're either going to be walking in the kingdom of light or in the kingdom of darkness. There's no middle area. You can either choose to walk in the power and the authority that God has given you, or you can choose to give it away. So Adam and Eve gave their authority away. And then Satan tries to tempt Jesus with it. Well, Jesus didn't fall for it. Because Jesus knew better. He knew who he was and he knew who his Father was. Do we? Do we know who we are in Jesus? And do we know who our Heavenly Father is? Because if we do, the temptations of the enemy won't matter. They're not important. Because we know the promises that the Father has for us is yes, yes, and amen. And the promises he gives us everything. It's not just a partial promise. Everything he has, he will give to his children that love him. Because he loves us. So the enemy had no authority or power to take the authority that was given to them. And Jesus said, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But only if we let him. If we don't let him, if we don't let him have authority in our lives, if we speak God's goodness into our life, God's righteousness, God's truth in our lives, it gives no foothold to the enemy. He has no power to do anything. Sorry, this thing is pulling off my head. Okay. So Jesus is the Lion of Judah, the one true king, the one with power, the one with authority. He doesn't have to lie or deceive people to obtain it. He was given the power and authority of heaven and earth by his Father. By his Father, because his Father loves him. Because Jesus was faithful, he said, it's not my will, but it's your will, Father. And because he was faithful, God gave him all power and authority. You and I are called to be ambassadors of Christ. Do we understand what an ambassador is? An ambassador is a representative of a country. And that ambassador, when they're in a foreign country, they still have all the power and authority and backing of their home country. Okay? That's what you and I are today in this world. We are strangers and foreigners in this world. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and made him the Lord of your life, you're a foreigner in this land. You know, years ago, if someone had asked me, who are you? I'd say, well, I'm Jay, and I'm an American Christian. God changed my view on that. I'm Jay, I'm a son of the Most High God, and I'm a Christian who happens to be blessed enough to be an American. We're Christians. We're children of God first and foremost. And don't let the enemy steal that from you. Don't let his lies change your thinking, change your perspective on that. Because when we get that settled in here, not just in here, people, this can't be head knowledge. You can memorize every verse in the Bible, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if it's only up here, it does you no good. It's got to be in here. For God said, I will write my words on the heart. He didn't say, I will put it in their minds. He said, I will write it on their hearts because we live out of our hearts. Our hearts direct our minds. So when we have this settled, the truth of who we are and who he is, when that is settled in here, it's settled up here. And then we're going to live it out. That is one of the main deceptions of the enemy. He gets us so confused on who we are. Or even on who God is. Oh yeah, God, he's good. He loves me. And he loves me so I don't have to worry about sin. It doesn't matter if I sin or not. That's a lie from the enemy too. God says, those that love me will follow my words. The most important part of that statement right there is those that love me. Brothers and sisters, if you struggle with sin, if it's constantly in your mind about, I can't do this, I can't do that, I gotta do this, I gotta do that, if that is a constant struggle for you today, I want you to know God wants your heart changed. Because it's gotta be not what I have to do or I can't do, but what I don't want to do that. Or I want to do this because I love Him. Because He loves me. Years ago, in the middle of a service, the pastor was talking about the love of God. And it was a good message. But in the middle of it, a lady stood up and said, "You're wrong." She said, "It's not about God's love." She said, "It's about following His word. It's about obeying what He says." She was wrong. She was misled. It is about following His word, but we follow His word out of love. I do what my wife asks me to do because I love her. It's not because I'm afraid she's going to beat me, because I don't. She may, but anyway, that's a whole nother sermon. But I do it because I love her and I respect her. And that's the way we should be with the Father. That's why Jesus obeyed Him to the point of death. Because He loved him. It wasn't about Jesus. It was about the Father. And it's not about you and I either. It's about the Father. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Now, this is Jesus speaking. He's talking to the disciples. This was after the crucifixion, but before He ascended. And He says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." He says, you will receive the power. We are not powerless. Like I said, the enemy, he wants you to think he's powerful and strong. He wants you to believe you're not. He wants you to believe what Jesus did for you isn't that important. But I'm here to tell you this morning what Jesus did not only for you, but what He's going to do through you is powerful. Jesus wants to use you. He wants to use each one of us. Does He want you to come up here and give a message? Maybe. Does He want you to pray and heal the sick? Maybe. Does He want you to be a missionary to far off lands? Maybe. But I do know what He wants. He wants you to represent Him at all times. He wants you to be a faithful ambassador. To represent Him everywhere you go. Whether it's on church Sunday morning. Or at Walmart. Or at the restaurant. Wherever you are a representative of Christ. You are a holy priesthood. But do we live it? Or do we believe the lies of the enemy? That we are powerless. And He is all powerful. If you read on a little bit further in Acts, it talks about the beginning of the church that God created. It talks about how the Holy Spirit came upon them. And it said it sat upon them like fire. And they spoke in different languages, in tongues. Some people are scared of that. Don't be scared of that. That's part of the power that God wants you to walk in. But what I want you to know, God created His church and it looked like that, but today it doesn't look like that. They met in an upper room. And they were there for days, praying and fasting and seeking Him. Today, the American church meets in fancy buildings. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But I'm saying when our focus gets on the buildings instead of on Him, that's when it's wrong. That's when it's wrong. You have it on the wall over here. Hebrews 13:8. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, if Jesus is the same, that means the Father's the same. That means the Holy Spirit's the same. That means they have the same power, the same authority, and the same desire for you and me as they did back then in the beginning of Acts, 2,000 years ago. A church to walk in power and truth. You know the difference between then and now? The church has believed the lies of the enemy. The church has believed that we can't speak out for His truth and righteousness. The church is sitting on their hands, waiting for the world to come to them. Jesus didn't say, receive what I have for you and wait for them to come. He says, receive what I have for you and take it out. Live it out. Speak it out. But if we're just sitting on our hands, we're not effective. Don't let the enemy fool you. Don't believe his lies. He has no power. He has no authority. Only what we give him. If you go through God's word, this is truth. From cover to cover, this is truth. And in his truth, the giant had no power. The fire that Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were thrown into had no power. The lions in the lion den with Daniel had no power. Pharaoh had no power to hold the Israelites. Death in the grave had no power. Because Jesus Christ has the power. That needs to be settled in here, ladies and gentlemen. We need to know that. One last scripture. Go to Revelations chapter 14, verse 14. As I said earlier, Jesus lived and died as the Lamb, but He reigns as the Lion. But I want you to know He's coming back in power and authority also. It says, then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So he who sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is coming back. He's coming back in all His power and all His authority And my first question to you is, are you ready? We don't know the time or the day, but he's coming back. And if you're not ready for him to come back today, I encourage you to come and talk to me. Talk to Trina. And if there's people in your life, in your family, if there's prodigals, there's many prodigals. If there's someone in your life that you don't know if they're ready or not, you need to start speaking into their life. You need to start claiming them for the kingdom of God. Just as Isaiah spoke and called God out of heaven, we need to speak and call for the salvation of our loved ones. Let's be the church that God has called us to be. Let's be a church that not just comes to church Sunday mornings because it's the thing to do. Let's be a church that walks out this Christian life that he's given to us and he's blessed us with, this salvation that he died for us. Let's be the church that walks that out in power and in truth. Not just waiting, saying, come on, I don't know why people aren't coming. They're not coming because we're not telling. They're not coming because they're not seeing any difference in our lives than anybody else. They're not coming because we're not taking it to them. And I'm not pointing fingers except right here. So let's put the enemy in his place. Can we put the enemy in his place? Yes. Let's put him in his place. Let's speak to those mountains. Let's bring the valleys up and make the mountains low. Let's not wait for the next shot that the enemy takes at us. Let's take the fight to him. Let's be proactive instead of reactive. Declare God's truth and mercies over your life and over the lives of your loved ones before it even happens, before anything happens. Speak the goodness of God over them. Call forth the goodness of God in your life. Because his promises are yes and amen. In closing this morning, I feel God wants you to know something this morning. Like I said earlier, it has to be settled in here in who you are and who he is. And this morning, he wants you to know he is the great I am. He told Moses, tell them the great I am sent you. There's no one or nothing that can compare to him. That's why he says, I am the great I am. I'm the only one. The Alpha and the Omega. And this morning, Trina felt someone was bound with fear. This morning, I feel that there's some in here there's addictions. But there's also relationships that are strained. There's relationships that have been severed. And God wants you to know that he is the I am. If there is a relationship that is that has been severed, there's walls built up, God is saying, I am the God of restoration. If you're struggling with addiction of any kind, whether it's drinking or pornography, whatever it is, God says, I am the chain breaker. If your walk with Him isn't what you want it to be, He's saying, I am the way maker. If fear has gripped your life, He's saying, I am the God of peace. If you struggle with finances, and in this day and age, that's easy to do. It's nothing to be ashamed of. If you struggle with finances, He says, I am Jehovah Jireh, your Lord, your provider. So I just want to take a moment, and I want everyone to close their eyes, open their hearts and their ears to hear. And if God speaks anything to you, any area of your life that has you bound, I want you to come forward, and we're going to have people up here to pray with you. But don't worry about if anybody sees you. Don't let the fear of someone seeing you hold you back, because this is not between you and them. It's between you and the Father in heaven. Don't let the enemy steal the promises of God that He has for you. So just take a moment and just listen. John, if you will come up and play something, please. Trina, if you will come up. Jason, if you will come up. I'm going to close in prayer. But if you feel led, if God showed you anything, please, by all means, come up. We would love to pray with you. We want to be proactive. We're going to speak truth into your life. We're going to call out the goodness of God. There's prodigals in here. Some people here, their children, their grandchildren, nieces, nephews, they knew the Lord and they walked away. Bring them. Bring them and we will pray. We will call forth God's promises in your life. The enemy can't have them. He has no power or authority to hold them.